Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And while you're there, be sure to check out how Steiny and Evan discussed who the next face of the NBA could be after Steph and LeBron retire. I'll tell you right now, it's a guy by the name of Wemby. Victor Wembanyama, man. Dude's a freak. Straight up freak. Before we get into the Warriors, I just want to continue with the Niner talk for a bit here, because you can't hide from it. I mean, it really sort of, depending on who you are, it separates sort of the Niner fandom. How much do you I think we're all in accord with he needs to come back. He's the best choice they have. He's a good quarterback. It's just Absolutely. A matter of how much do you want to pay Brock Purdy. I think you and I are on record saying the market rate, quote-unquote, at anything north of $50 million is too much for me. But again, this all depends on how the contract is structured. Obviously, a lot of it's going to be deferred, and whether you can afford what it is that you need to afford. Otherwise, it's not my money, all right?
Right.
And if we know anything else about NFL owners, don't cry for the Niners. They're not going to the poorhouse anytime soon, right? These guys they print money.
Right.
So I don't have an issue with getting yours. And you as a football player, this is your brethren, man.
You and I both, and I both are on the same page when it comes to, hey, look, if he gets $100 million a year, guess what? You and I ain't going to cry. We're going to, like, bless you, Purdy.
Oh, hell, get
yours. Get yours. That's not what we're saying. But we're talking about when it comes to fiscal responsibilities for the far as the Niners and what this organization wants to do. If it's about trying to get back to a Super Bowl and it's about trying to become back relevant, how far do you go on Brock Purdy? And that's why we're just putting out these numbers and saying, okay, if you want to be relevant, if you're going to come back to get, you know, challenge Seattle, if you're going to come back to challenge the Rams, if you're going to come back to challenge the friggin' Arizona Cardinals because you're in last place, what is that number? Because you have already shown that you need more offensive line. You need more. You need to be deeper on the defensive line. You need better secondary. There are some holes on this team that needs to be filled, and you have to do it through the draft. In a free agency, and how much are you willing to go in on Purdy to sacrifice other positions if you think this guy can hide the faults of the defensive line, hide the faults of the secondary?
So, you know, I've always been, I want to talk to somebody that wants to make the argument that he deserves market value, and we have somebody, and we're going to get
Please.
To our producer. By the way, we got our all, you know, you never want to play favorites in terms of producers because everybody does a hell of a job
sure,
here.
Sure.
I love pasta, risotto. Pasta's a hell of a...
Yeah.
All these guys are incredible.
You love Cam.
But if I had to pick, you know, two guys, you know the proverbial, if I'm in a foxhole,
sure.
It's Jersey Cam and my man, Carter Chicker.
Like those two guys.
And they're here today. But I'm gonna just absolutely destroy Carter in a matter of moments because he's the guy who's going to try and convince all of us that it's about market value. in terms of making the case as to why he needs to make $50 or $55 million. But before we do that, let's get out to, you ready for this?
Yes.
Lemoore, California.
The L-Town?
And
wait,
say hello to Michael. Come on down,
we
Michael.
L-Town?
What's up, Lo? What's up, Dan Lo? It's an honor to speak with you, first of all. When it comes to Brock Purdy, we need to pump the brakes on him a little bit as far as wanting to just write a check to him, because the 49ers don't have to do it next season. Let's be honest with ourselves. They're in no rush to do that. And look what happened to the contracts that we signed this past offseason when we came to the players. It didn't work out for us. So why would we go in the same situation with Brock Purdy when he could get injured week one and then what happens to us?
Great. Great call. Great stick, Mike. Or Michael.
That was
I maintain that.
Drop like, Mike on that. What are you saying?
Well, it's an option that a lot of people just dismiss. Now, when it comes to the 49ers, the only reason I would push back on that a little bit is because the one thing you don't want to do is a repeat of last offseason with Brandon Ayuk, the back and forth, and then the Trent Williams, and it just carried over, I think, into the season. So you want to nip this in the bud. And you'd like to, if you're going to do it now, or if you're not going to do it, just say we're not going to negotiate a contract until, and pick a week after week 10. They signed D'Amador Lenore midseason, so they're not adverse to doing that. But I'm with you. Do you think that they could do it all over again? They would want to wait till this offseason to sign Brandon Ayuk? And do you think Brandon Ayuk is getting that contract, knowing what they know now?
No.
I can pretty much tell you he's not.
You know that he wouldn't. But at the same sense, all they had to do, if Kyle Shanahan, and I think if Kyle Shanahan, let's say barring in injuries, if Kyle Shanahan had to do it over again, he and John Lynch, they would have traded him and got a first-round pick. That's what you should have did. If you could have got a first and a third.
And Amari Cooper.
And Amari Cooper and got a first and a third for this guy and get Amari Cooper, I would have did it. You can't, because you got to get some draft capital, and you got to hit in the draft. I think what they should have done it, and yet hindsight, everyone talk about that. We understand now we're playing Monday morning, you know, quarterback, but they need to look at themselves toughly in the mirror before they go out and start spending a bunch of money. They need to find out what needs to be addressed on this team in order to get them back relevant, because right now this team's not relevant.
All right, let's bring in the starting center out of Stuart Hall, first name Carter, last name Chickering, who believes that Brock Purdy deserves that $50 to $55 million. Are you going as high as 60, Carter?
I'm not sure I believe he deserves it, but I think he's going to get, absolutely he will get $50 million. That is the floor of what he will get.
And what are you basing this on?
Look at the contracts that have been given around the league. Trevor Lawrence, Tua, I'm blanking on others. Jared Goff, Brock Purdy last
year. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak Prescott. Brock Purdy last year, you could argue, outplayed all those guys, correct? I mean, this is what the market is calling for. We have some sound from Richard Sherman. I think he explains it really well, that we're going to play. But it doesn't matter what people think he should get or what the Niners need. Like, this is a business at the end of the day.
Okay, I love what you said.
Yeah.
Pause right there. You just said it's a business, and you're saying last year he outplayed those guys, so he should turn. And guess what I'm going to say? Same church, same pew, and I'll let you sit on my lap. Now, I'm going to sit on your lap because I'm going to say no, because did he outplay those guys this year? So what you're saying now, if that holds true, then be consistent. What you're saying now is kind of hypocrisy, because you said last year he outplayed those guys and that's what the market gave him. But now when you're saying, what did he do this year that's merit that you get paid that money then? Because
you
can't go, you cannot say that, because just because something fit last year don't mean you're the champ this year.
But what did Trevor Lawrence do last year?
He didn't do much, but he did.
But he got paid.
Yeah, so that's where I have an issue.
Did he get, $50 million?
What Carter is saying, he got guaranteed, I want to say it was 170. It was worse. Because APY doesn't really matter. It's the guaranteed money is what you have to focus
exactly.
on. Exactly. But Carter makes a good point. And I don't think Carter's saying that that's what he thinks he deserves. It's just the market value is going to dictate all of this, and I think that's a fair point. But if I'm the 49ers, it's almost as if the argument is being made that it's inflation-based. This is what he's next up. He gets to reset the market. And to me, if I'm the Niners, and I look at Tua, and I look at Trevor Lawrence, and I'll even throw, I don't want to go Deshaun Watson, but Dak Prescott, and I would say, but all three of those were mistakes. All three of those, especially when it comes to Trevor Lawrence. And Tua Tagovailoa, to me, is just a very average quarterback. And he actually played well against San Francisco. But if you watched him over the last month, I mean, that's not a guy worthy of the deal that he got. So based on that, it's supposed to influence me to make another mistake just simply because it's what the market, quote-unquote, dictates?
I'm with you. You're saying doesn't make it right. You're saying just because those guys got paid that absorbent amount, does it make it right? And if the Niners, even though, and that's where the Niners have to pump their brakes and say, even though these guys overpaid, we can't do that because we're trying to win the Super Bowl. Out of those quarterbacks you guys just talked about and alluded to, which one of those teams are going to win a Super Bowl or in the makings of winning the Super Bowl the next 3-4 years? They don't have what it takes. So I wouldn't make the same mistake.
And again, if he's Patrick Mahomes, if he's Josh Allen, he's Lamar Jackson, pay him. Reset the market. But if it's Brock Purdy and there's still moving pieces and you still have some question marks and the argument is, well, it's the market, it's inflation. Miss me with that. It's got to be.
That's bad business.
There has to be more to it. It has to be more layered than that. It's got to make more sense in my house. Not, I'm not trying to reset a market. I could care less about what Tua and Jacksonville and what the Miami Dolphins are doing to the Dallas Cowboys. This is about making the 49ers better.
Agreed.
And so I can only look at it through that prism. All right, we continue. Got to get to a break. We have 2 minutes? Huh. All right.
Hey, real quick. I just wanted to add to that, though. I think it's also about timing. Because think about Tua last year. They were the number one offense in the league. What about Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Another high-powered offense.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence, that's where you can kind of say, did he earn it? Because he had an inconsistent year last year. But the year before that, the guy threw over 4,000 yards. So I think with Brock Purdy's issue is timing. Because he had a great year last year. This year didn't pan out. But I guess we can kind of get into the debate why it didn't pan out. And why is it just on Brock Purdy? I mean, I think there's other intangibles that go with it. But when it comes to guys getting that kind of money and performing the way they do, I think it depends on their timing.
That's a great point. Brandon Ayuk is a perfect example.
Right.
Brandon Ayuk, he was associated with the Super Bowl. And if you want to get back there, bring me back because you got your quarterback and pay me. He had the leverage. I don't know that Brock Purdy has the leverage going into this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think he has the leverage. But the biggest thing for me is, like, look, Brock Purdy deserves to be paid and deserves to get an amicable amount of money. I'm not hating on this guy's chicken. All we're saying is this. If you look at teams and you say, if I'm trying to get a certain place, because the market dictates that, I can't just say I'm going to do what the market says if I'm trying to win. If the Niners are trying to win the Super Bowl and if they're trying to be relevant, what should you do?
All right. We're going to answer those questions for you. We'll continue. We'll push the Warriors down the road. I promise we'll get into the Warriors as they take on the Los Angeles Clippers, a team they have not beaten this year. And we'll also revisit the conversation we had with Steve Kerr last night. A reminder, we are sponsored by Lucky California. It is Carter Chickering. It is Jersey Ken. And my man, Lorenzo Neal Danavone. Back on 95.7 The Game after this.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're continuing the conversation. It's interesting. A lot of, because I don't know that there is necessarily one size fits all for this conversation.
It doesn't. And we're not hating on Purdy. That's what I hate, because it's tough, because you just want the best for your team. You want the best for the individuals. And you want to stay relevant. It's a lot easier coming in here and talk about a Niners team that's in the playoffs, that's dominant, instead of having these conversations. And you just know, as a player and as a guy that watches sports and as fans, they know it's just not one guy that's going to win you a Super Bowl. And you need to have other guys surrounding that individual, and especially when it comes to quarterback, even though they reset the market, you better have some talent around them if you want to be relevant. And right now, the Niners aren't relevant.
Yeah, I guess the only issue I have, that when people say that he deserves market value, and this is what the market dictates, and that market is being set by, the market is being dictated by players like that of Trevor Lawrence, Tua, and Dak, the most recent guys to get the biggest contract extensions. And there's warts on all of those guys. Mm. And so I guess just logistically, if I'm a franchise, do I look at those guys and say, well, yeah, I need to pay my quarterback because those guys got paid when those guys essentially set their respective franchises in arrears? When you look what it is that Dallas and another mistake, just yet another of a myriad of mistakes throughout the last 20 years by Jerry Jones when it comes to player personnel, when it came to Dak Prescott and the contract that he offered, purely out of the fact that the season was about to start in a week and he lost all leverage and he blinked first. And the same thing when it comes to Tua. And the same thing when it comes to Trevor Lawrence, certainly when it comes to Deshaun Watson. When you look at Kirk Cousins, we talked about his deal in Atlanta. There are so many teams that just recently signed quarterbacks that have really, they've hurt their football team. Because they don't have the money in the till to go out and improve in other positions so that collectively they can be a good team. They overpaid in one position while they may have had other options. And so when I look at the current, again, what the market's dictating, the market is not very influential in terms of me pulling the trigger again on signing Brock Purdy to that big deal north of $50 or $55 million.
There's so many variables like you just laid out. Like I look at Trevor Lawrence. The year that got him paid was the year before he threw for over 4,000 yards. Now, my question to the listeners and my question to be to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, who had more talent? If you look at what Trevor did that year, the following year he didn't do necessarily great, but he got paid. But Trevor Lawrence didn't have all these weapons and didn't have the type of the team that the Niners had. So what's a bigger accomplishment? Now, when you put a quarterback in a situation and then they got to rise above and put you on the map and do those things, those are the quarterbacks that you got to say, okay, can my franchise afford to lose this type of player? You just talked about, you know, Trevor Lawrence. You talked about Dak Prescott. Those guys are not winning a Super Bowl. They need way more around them. And so if you make that, if you're the Niners and you say, yes, I'm going to go ahead and because he deserves this and I reset the market, I'm going to pay him $62, $63 million, what does that get you besides the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League? And if this team is truly saying, we have to get back, we want to get back to a Super Bowl, we want to build, we think we can, will this move set you back, or is this the move that's going to catapult you to a Super Bowl? And that the answer is no. And they know that. And you have to realize, so what are they going to do? How do you temper expectations by not insulting Dak, by not insulting Purdy? Because you don't want to insult this young man. And you know you got to give him more than 25, more than 30. You get that. But how do you do it? Because you're not going to insult him, but you're going to say, hey, look, we understand what you're doing. We understand what you mean to this franchise. But if we give you 50, 60 million, it is going to put you back. And now we are not going to be able to win. But if we guarantee you 180, 170 million.
That's a lot.
And it's a 4-year deal. It is a lot.
I can't give him 170, guaranteed. That's too much. No.
But it's like, if you're saying, look, less, and I can guarantee $140 million, $150 million for $150 million for the next 5 years, and you guarantee it for 5 years, I can live with that. But I can't live with $300, $400 million for the next 5 years.
Jersey Ken, I want to bring you in because he's a big Miami guy. Can never, Jersey Ken from Jersey, so he knows all the New York sports, but for some reason, he knows the Dolphins better than anybody. But a lot of people make the comps between Brock Purdy and Tua Tagovailoa, and you brought up something interesting at the break, Jersey Ken. Tell the people about the red zone and the numbers that Tua Tagovailoa has been able to produce for his team as opposed to Brock.
So when it comes to comparing them, I mean, there's a great point to be made because when it comes to Tua, and both quarterbacks are very accurate. Tua, I think, is one of the most high, like either first or second in terms of accuracy. But one thing that stands out really in the last 3 years, Tua has in his red zone attempts, he has got 46 touchdowns and one interception. Now I just looked it up this year.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like they always find different ways to score, whether, you know, it's a pitch, it's, you know, it's a fade route. It doesn't matter. Over the middle, doesn't matter.
They a lot of that's McDaniel as well.
Right. And it comes from the 49ers system, and it makes total sense, right? But I actually just looked it up. Brock Purdy is pretty good in the red zone, at least with this year, in terms of passing. So, because he's 14-1 inside the 20. 14 touchdowns, one pick, right? But is it now?
What's the conversion rate? Because I want to say in the red zone.
They were horrible in the red zone. They were horrible inside the 20. This year, in the 20 going in, this team was one of the worst in the league.
Right. So to me, that says it's not a Purdy problem.
No.
Purdy can score. It seems like is it a play call issue? Is it a running game issue? Is it Christian McCaffrey not being in the backfield when you get down to the 20, to the 10, even the 5? Because there were times they were like 3 yards away and they couldn't get in.
Yeah, I think red zone, you've got to be able to run the football. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that, first of all, is just simply being able to run. And a lot of it is schematics. He's right. That's not a quarterback. That's not an accurate quarterback barometer. The conversion inside the 20, or maybe you disagree. I think the red zone is more about us as collectively as a football team, how are we playing offensively? And if you're getting no push from an offensive line, as you touched on numerous occasions, and you can't run down there, I mean, what's Brock Purdy going to do?
Right. I think it's a combination. I don't think it's all on Brock, but I've seen where, you know, Brock had some guys opening, forces the ball. Seen at times where he became frustrated and just, you know, inaccurate. He's seen where, hey, the line broke down like you're talking about, and he's scrambling for his life. He's getting ready to throw a touchdown, throw a strike, and something happens, you know. So I don't put it all on Brock Purdy. And you look at McDaniels, what he's been able to do with Tua. That just shows you efficiency. That shows you there's a scheme. There's a coach that's saying, hey, this is what they're doing. And he's scheming him because Tua's not more accurate, not more mobile than freaking Brock. But look at the 46 touchdowns. That just goes to show you, but that's coaching too. So I think there's a combination of things. Shanahan, Brock, linemen, receivers, running back. So there's a lot of things that go into that, but all it does is amplify even louder, saying why you can't give someone 50 some million. Why you can't say, I'm just going to reset it because this is what inflation does. This is how it looks like. We just got to do this because this is what you do with the quarterback. Who says that? When is the league going to correct itself? Because if these numbers, and you keep doing it, you're going to be like a Dallas Cowboys. You're going to be like a Jacksonville Jaguars team that you're going to have so much tied into a quarterback. Mahomes, they tied in $500 million. But guess what? He can go win with less because he's that type of guy. Joe Burrow, those are that type of guys. You don't have that in Purdy. That's all we're saying. We're not trying to take money out of this guy's pocket. We're trying to talk about the good of the 49ers for this team to be successful and be sustainable. They can't pay this guy $50 million a year. Just can't happen.
What do you got, Carter?
Can I give you here's all the quarterbacks that make over $50 million. There's 9 of them, okay? Jalen Hurts makes 51. Lamar Jackson makes 52. Justin Herbert makes 52.5. Jared Goff, 53. Tua, 53.1. Jordan Love, 55. Trevor Lawrence, 55. Joe Burrow, 55. And Dak Prescott, 60. There's only one quarterback in there that's been to a Super Bowl.
Man, and Mahomes wasn't even in there.
So in a way, you're making my point. I mean, if this is about winning and winning Super Bowls, what? I understand. The market is... Look, I was a television sportscaster.
You're not fighting the market. I know
my
what you're
contract
saying.
Would come up every 3 years.
Right.
And the first thing my agent would do, he'd look across the street at my competitor at NBC and saying, you're paying... You know what NBC's paying their guy? Danavone has got better ratings. Danavone is doing more for your station. That guy over there is making X amount of dollars. You need to come in at a higher number for the next 3 to 5 years for what it is that you're going to pay him. I get it. But sometimes things just have to make sense according to the house that you built, which is the 49ers.
Mm.
And if anyone's going to reset anything, maybe it's the 49ers this offseason that reset the market in another direction so that the next quarterbacks that are up are not going to get the 55 to 60 to 65 to 70 to $75 million. Because I don't know if there's ever going to be a ceiling on that sort of thing.
Exactly.
And it just, again, it just has to make sense according to us. Let me ask you guys, Sam Darnold, where are you at with Sam Darnold? Because if, I don't know how Minnesota lets this guy walk. I don't know how Justin Jefferson lets him go out the door. But let's just say, hey, listen, man, Kevin O'Connell, he's the new quarterback whisperer, and he can do to J.J. McCarthy what it is that he did for one Sam Darnold. Mm. So, Sammy, we love you, but we got a guy on a contract or on a rookie contract that is making peanuts. We're going to go in this direction, and Sam Darnold's available. Sam Darnold is not going to command nearly as much as Brock Purdy. Is Sam Darnold become a leverage piece for the 49ers? I'm just curious to get your guys' thoughts.
Come on, don't both y'all talk the same Sam time.
I was going to let Carter go first, but that's okay. The first thing I want to say about Sam Darnold is that the Jets just really screwed him up, because now we know Sam Darnold can ball, right? And the funny thing is that the Niners had Sam Darnold, you know, under their wing for last year.
Well, they couldn't
year.
Afford him.
Right, exactly. Point being that what the Vikings should do, honestly, if I'm the Vikings, I keep Sam Darnold for another 3 to 4 years and just go the Packer route. I mean, look what the Packers have done in the last three, you know, franchise QBs. They've had three franchise QBs in the last, like, what, 30 years? And they've done it smart. Hey, McCarthy, you were supposed to start this year? Well, listen, we got a guy here that we can work with. Just sit tight for three more years. Now, to your question, I know I keep dancing around it. I mean, is that what you want to do, though? What's gone on throughout the last offseason, you want to bring Sam Darnold into that and pay this guy and then do what with Purdy? Because if Sam Darnold's the one you're putting in that situation now, might as well go and try to find a trade piece for Purdy.
Well, you got and that's the thing. Does he have trade value? And what can you get for Purdy? Naming the teams out there that would stand in line for a guy that's 6 foot, and yeah, he had a good year. 1 year, but he had a ton of weapons, one of the best defense, had all kind of receivers. Name me some teams out there that you think that would be willing to pay that type of money. The only people that pay these type of guys are usually the home team pays their home guy. Other teams are saying, no, we're not necessarily going that route because they understand it could be too expensive. My question to you guys, if you got a guy like Malik Willis, run the read off, he can throw the ball, do these things, do you say, hey, Here's a guy that's in Green Bay. Do we bring this guy in? Because we keep talking about a Shanahan system. It's all these guys' system. These guys are system quarterbacks. Can you do that and still win?
I think that's a bit of a reach. Darnold, to me, is, I think that's a much more easier, seamless transition, because essentially, it's the same offense. It's the same coaching tree when you talk about Shanahan and O'Connell.
He's in Green Bay.
I know, but Malik is unproven. Sam Darnold had this year where he showed that he can do it and do it in that system. Malik is still a bit of a question mark. And so that's what's the old saying? Cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Wasn't he in Baltimore too? Didn't he almost win that playoff game against Cincinnati? Or, well, you saw him what he did when he was with the Tennessee Titans. I agree. It's a stretch. But I just think that if you look at Sam Darnold, like you said, here's a guy you could bring in.
But that's an interesting point. Could you go the route like that of the Green Bay Packers and just simply have him sit as a pupil? And you know why I think it works in Green Bay, and I mentioned this the other day, and why it may not work in San Francisco or anywhere else, is that typically you have an owner who picks up a phone and says, I want to see this quarterback playing now. The reason why it works in Green Bay, who owns the Packers? The people. And they don't have that guy sitting in the ivory tower who's like, I need J.J. McCarthy on the field. I just saw what it is that, you know, my starter did. I want this guy playing tomorrow. I don't know that it works anywhere else other than Green Bay, but it's interesting. But the question then becomes, all right, so if J.J. McCarthy is sitting for 3 years, he's up for his contract extension, what the hell are we doing now? So... But that's the way it used to be done back in the day. You would sit, and you'd put on the hat, and you'd pick up a clipboard, and you'd be an understudy for a couple of years. But now it's like you have to ball out in year one or year two, because it's all about the finances. We got to find out whether or not you're worthy to extend you or not, which is why there was a rush for Baker Mayfield. Well, you have all these reclamation projects, including Jared Goff, including, you know, what's happened with Sam Darnold at the top of that list. And I think Zach Wilson, I know as crazy it may sound,
yeah.
Zach Wilson and even Daniel Jones, do not be surprised if these guys resurface in some other capacity wearing another uniform and doing well.
Bad teams can do it. Good teams. Look at Caleb Williams. Bad teams can't do it. Good teams can. The Minnesota Vikings can go out and they can sign Sam Darnold because the Minnesota Vikings is a good team. The fans, the people can sit behind and they can wait.
Carter, what's up?
I was going to say, I think that they're the best coach team in football. I don't even.
Who's that?
Me, the Minnesota Vikings. I think that he fell into a situation where he has two absolute stud receivers. He has a good run game with Aaron Jones. The defense obviously holds them up too with Brian Flores back there. And on top of that, like, I'll be honest, I couldn't stand him on the 49ers. The eye test to me, they were punting a lot when he was in, period. And I think it's because.
Wait, when was he in?
No, just during the preseason. When he was playing during the preseason, they were punting a lot. And obviously, you're playing with secondaries and third string players. But I think it's because he likes to throw outside of the hash marks. And the 49ers don't throw outside the hash marks at all. And
I mean, he likes to extend on.
He likes
to
throw deep. Like, the guy has an arm. Like, he, you know, and Shanahan keeps the quarterbacks refined inside the hash marks down the middle of the field. And I think that that's not where Darnold is at his best.
Wow. I mean, I didn't go to practice like that of you, but I see Sam Darnold as being very much of a pocket guy and going through a progression. He doesn't strike me as a guy that's trying to extend and get to the outside and use his legs, but I could be wrong. I think Sam Darnold is Brock Purdy, except with a stronger arm and 4 inches taller and bigger hands.
Mm.
And I'm being serious. That's not a knock on Brock Purdy. But Sam Darnold, what is Brock Purdy? Fourth overall in the NFL in terms of balls getting batted down at the line of scrimmage? And it's so frustrating. That doesn't happen to dudes who are 6'5" and, you know, got a hand like a foot.
Right.
And can throw the ball 70 yards in the air, but are also smart. Because there's a lot of idiots that just have a strong arm.
Right.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Lo. I'm sorry. One thing you said, you goes, who's going to take Brock Purdy now? Let me ask you a question. Before Brian Flores was fired, what'd you think of Tua?
I never thought. I still don't think Tua's great.
Okay.
Even today.
But after the fact that Flores got fired, it wasn't a defensive run team anymore.
Right.
And they went strictly into a heavy offensively run team with, you know, steady motions, all kinds of stuff. They brought in wide receivers, Tyreek Hill, the works. After Mike McDaniel worked with him, did you have a different opinion about Tua?
Yeah. Did I have a big difference? No. It was still the system. That's what system made. So he's not a quarterback that you could say, take Tua out of the system and he's just going
to
be a guy.
And
that's what my whole point is about this conversation that we're having.
But my point is that I think that with Brock Purdy in a different system, maybe he could be something we have no idea.
This system fits him best. If he
Work in this system, he can't work anywhere.
Shanahan likes to limit his quarterbacks, does he not?
Yeah, because he knows it. He knows that Brock can't throw the long ball. He's limited. This is a system that you got one read, boom, 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 and I'm going through a different possession. Brock Purdy usually throws it to the first or second read, those windows, because of the fact he understands the system. He's not like Josh Allen would go to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth read because they got the big arm. This is a guy that's in, and this is a window. I'm getting it out of my hand. That's why he's got one of the quickest releases, because he trusts the system that Shanahan has put in place. That's why Tua has been efficient, because Tua understands McDaniel has him in the system. Here's this window. This is what's going on. And he's, when you see Tua then have to ad lib, then it's a bust. You're like, oh, here he goes. What's going to happen? Purdy is more, okay, ad lib. I'm going to take off and run, get some. These guys don't necessarily throw the big, big ball downfield and make big things happen when they have to act. They work within their compound, and that's what I think make these guys limited, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think when it gets to the Miami Dolphins and McDaniel, he customized a system to fit Tua Tagovailoa. And Flores just didn't have the capability of doing that.
Wasn't an offensive-minded guy.
And it's the same thing with Shanahan that he did with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's what he's doing with Purdy to a certain degree. And I think that is, if you want to call them system quarterbacks, you know, that's sort of where we're at.
And he executes it at a high level, because Purdy understands, I got to get rid of the ball. Here's where it is. This is where my reads are. And that's why sometimes you see where the hell is Purdy throwing the ball? Because a linebacker drops right into that place where he's going to throw because of the fact the system says, let it go here. And that's why sometimes he throws into places. They're like, man, where'd that come from? Because he understands there is a window. I didn't look it completely off. And there is a window where the balls go. And that's why you see sometimes interceptions. You're like, wow, how did he throw that? Because the system in the read said that he should have went there. That's all.
It's a fascinating conversation because if they pay him $53, $55 million, I have no issues with it.
Nor do I.
And I think that, again, I'm going to defer to the 49ers because they know what it is that they need to do in terms of addressing the offensive line, addressing the defensive line, paying Dre Greenlaw, and locking up all these pieces that they need in order for Brock Purdy or whomever to be collectively a good and, once again, competitive football team.
Is Brandon Ayuk going to come back at 100%? Is he going to come back the first year after having a total reconstruction knee? That's the question. And is Debo going to come back? So what are you getting? So is your team going to be better? So if you play Brock this and you say, okay, I got our quarterback saw, do you believe you're going to hit in the draft and put other guys around him that's going to get you back to a Super Bowl?
It's interesting about Christian McCaffrey because I don't really know what to expect with him. And especially when it comes to the Achilles. So it'll be interesting, certainly, when we talk about Brock Purdy. And they can lock him up the minute the season's over. The next day, they can go ahead and get that extension over with. The one thing you don't want to see is for this thing to go back and forth. And if Brock Purdy, and I doubt he's the kind of guy to do this, but if he scrubs his social media and he scrubs the Niners from his social media accounts, and we have to go down this silliness again, I think all of us are like, no, please, not another Debo, not another Brandon Ayuk with the back and forth and the passive aggressive comments. Let's either do this or not. All right. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. All right. Word in Oakland. We see you out there. 888-957-9570. We'll continue the conversation about Brock Purdy and the 49ers. That and much more. Lorenzo Neal, Dan Avone on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Speaking of gambling, I always got to check in with my man Lowe, who's in a pool that's, I mean, seriously. We're talking some serious hoops. Serious hoops.
Some serious cheddar. Still cheddar. I'm still in this thing. I'm still in it.
What's the chicken of this thing? 700K?
Dude, we got 500 people. They all put in a nickel. And so.
Do the math.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So winner takes all. So the pot is, it's adrenaline. The guys are falling out left and right. The big fella's still standing. So
Cash me out one time.
Not once. Just keep cashing. So hopefully I'll be the last one.
And is it the Super Bowl winner?
It's just you get to pick every week. You pick a team. And it doesn't have to cover any spreads. You just got to pick a team. And you just hope that it's Survivor. And each week it goes. So it was like 500. Now I think it's down to like 100 guys that's still left. Don't know after this week what'll be left. And you just keep going.
And one and done?
One and done. If you lose one, you're done. So this goes all the way to the Super Bowl, but it could be over a week. Let everyone. But a lot of times you have to realize in these pools, everyone goes with the dog. Everyone takes the big team. Like Monday, I guarantee 75 people will be on the Detroit Lions against San Francisco. I mean, because that's the big one that just pops out. So that's what happened. Everyone was, you know, they take these the ones that's the obvious winner. So usually I don't go that route. I stay away because I know where the masses are going. I look at the games that, okay, everyone should be. This looks like an absolute layup. I try to find one people don't like, but I like it a lot because if you with everyone else and you lose with that, why? Why take the chance of being in the big where everyone's at if you're really trying to win the money?
So you just have to pick one winner?
Just one winner each week. One winner each
week. You might have asked who you have this week? Yeah, you don't want to divulge? All right. No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'll let you know. Call me every week, baby. I'll let you know.
All right.
It's a team. It's a team out here in the West. It's a team in the West. So we'll see. It's
getting awfully interesting in the National Football League as we get right down to it. And, of course, the San Francisco 49ers were eliminated before kickoff last week against the Miami Dolphins and lost again in another sort of costly interception by that of Brock Purdy. But according to Greg Cosell, that was not on Brock Purdy. And, of course, I always defer to the guru. We're not talking about our own guru, but the man that, you know, that sits there and apparently is in a dark room looking at NFL films all day. So. And he put me in my place.
No, not really. That was great. Watching you guys banter back and forth. But I tell you what, Dan, you take it in stride. And then you ask the question. Then, okay, they tell you something. You come back to, you set them up to make them answer it. And then
because I've got family listening. Yeah, and I got to come back at it.
It was nice.
I got to walk through the door tonight.
I can honestly say I was impressed with your answer. You know, and I know you're a healthy guy. If you're a milk guy, are you almond milk? Oatmeal?
I don't drink milk.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
No, but you do almond milk?
Yeah, I'll do some. I'll drink some milk, I guess.
Yeah, how about chicken milk?
What the hell is that?
You ever had chicken milk?
Am I being set up here?
No, because you're not a country boy. You probably never had chicken.
But chicken doesn't produce milk.
Yes, it does. You don't know that?
From what orifice?
I can't believe you didn't know that. Duck? No.
Duck milk?
Are you serious? You're not from the. You didn't know that. I thought you knew that, Dan. I'm not.
Really? What's chicken milk like?
It's white, same color as milk. I didn't know you didn't have any chicken.
No.
Yeah, you know, city boy like you wouldn't have.
No, when I was in Fresno, man, I had no idea what Armenian food was.
right. Oh, Limajan and all that good stuff. Yeah, no,
for I'm real.
Yeah, that was all. That's always what my go-to when I'm messing with city guys. I always say, "You've never chicken milk? Like, does chicken really get milk?" No, of course you're right, Dan. No all chicken right. milk.
Just making sure.
How do you milk a chicken?
Yeah, I don't know, Carter, you can't.
Carter, I got you going back there, buddy. Thank you. That's
good. Just curious.
Right,
how do you milk a chicken?
You know where Carter went to school?
No.
High school? He went to Stuart Hall.
Stuart Hall.
Which is probably one of, I want to say it's a private school. It's a Catholic private school. And it's top tier, man. He's like in the Joe Burrow,
really?
Josh Allen sort of, pantheon of high schools in San Francisco.
Rich education, very intellectual stuff.
Pacific Heights in San Francisco.
Okay.
We're talking about all those tech startup money.
Oh, wow. Are you come from a family that's in very...
No, I wasn't going there. He didn't got to talk about where his family is.
I really would love to talk to you. I understand.
No, but the reason I always go at him, because he was serious, is he doesn't know... He honestly thought that milk came out of a chicken. And that just goes to show you, no matter where you get that education, you
can waste the money.
Hey, now goats do give good milk. Now you've had goat milk is pretty.
That
good.
I've had.
Yeah.
Ooh, the boy. Cheese too.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Well,
well, he's from Jersey, so
I grew up down south though. Okay. Oh, okay. You know about Snipes, Lo?
No, tell me.
You heard about Snipes?
Let's
you
go Snipe Hunt. You want to go Snipe Hunt?
You know about Snipe Hunt?
Snipe Hunt. Meet me. I tell you what. Meet me out in front of Murph's, the bar. And like, you got to be late at night, 2:30 at night.
Bring a flashlight. 2:30
in the morning, bring a flashlight, and we'll pick you up.
And a sack.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you guys
No, no, man, it's a real deal. It's got to be early in the morning, though.
Okay, I've done frog hunting, you know, frog gigging. You go out, you put the light, so you go out, take your boat out in the country, in those canals, and you go gigging. And what happens, you get the light, you put it on against the bank, boom, hit the flashlight on the big frog legs, get frogs. And then you have a gig. It's a three-prong gig. And you
gig is a spear.
Uh-huh. It's a spear, three prongs. And you put the light on them, and they just sit there because the light blinds them. And you get close, boom, you gig them. Then you grab them with your hand, pull them out, and you cut the top off, just get the legs, have frog legs. You go home, fry up the frog legs, salt and pepper, flour, frog legs. Now, I've been gigging. I've been frog, but that you guys came
snipe,
up.
Snipe hunting?
Yeah. Never.
Hey, Lo. Snipe hunting is about as real as chicken milk.
Okay. I was like, okay, what's a snipe?
I've been octopus hunting, which we do. They're nocturnal, so you do it at night, which sounds similar to what is it?
Okay.
You go out there with a spear, and you just let that thing rip.
Right.
Yeah. So, octopus, very similar, I'm assuming, to like that of frogs. If you deep fried everything,
yeah,
sort of tastes
the same. Frog legs is amazing. By the way,
have you either one of you had frog legs?
Yeah, I've been to France.
Yeah, let's just turning my back on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right.
Stuart Hall in France.
Yes. There we go, man. That was nice. You guys got me back. I like it.
All right, so we're talking about Brock Purdy. Just let's sort of wrap this thing up.
Okay.
And since we got my boys here today, I just want to go around the room. And I guess I'm going to start with you. You're John Lynch. All right? And I'm the agent for Brock Purdy. I'm going to start the bidding at $55 million. Okay? And I want a guarantee of $150. And I want a four-year deal. What are you doing?
I said, Brock, I'll guarantee the $150.
But then I'd say thank you, and I'm out the door.
And I'm going to say, Brock, here's the thing. Let's be real. You're 5'9". You're 5'11".
He gets smaller and smaller.
Brock. Let's.
He was 6'1" a half hour ago.
You're 6'1". You're not a tall guy. You have a hard time seeing over the line. You're number four guys getting the balls batted down. One of the highest percentage in the league. You can't necessarily see over the line. Teams are going to push the pocket in your lap and make you throw from a thing. We understand that. We understand what you've done for us. We understand what you've done for this organization. You should be compensated. And we're not trying to lowball you. We understand Dak and all these guys got paid. And here's what I'm willing to do. I know our number. We're not going to insult you. If you feel that you're starting this thing at 55, we're at 40, but we're not even going to insult you. So here's what we'll do. I'm going to give you the right to go on the market and see if you can get 55. If the market does that for you, take it. Because we're not going to – I never want you to come back and look at me as an ex-player because I played and resent me. I don't want you to resent me. I want you to go out to the market because we know you're capable and we know we can win a Super Bowl with you. But it's going to take a better offensive line. We have some holes that we need to fill, and all we're trying to do is make sure we can protect you for you and us. We can win together. And so we know $55 million just doesn't give this 49er opportunity as a team and as a franchise, as an organization, to win a Super Bowl at paying our quarterback $55 million. But if you can get it on the market and the market deems that for you, Brock, we'll be happy for you. But right now, we're not willing to do that. So please go on the market and see if you can get it.
All right. I would say I'd take the $150 million if it's guaranteed. Carter Chickering, what say you?
I think the Raiders would pay him whatever he wants, first of all. I'll say that to start. Second of all, Evan and I talked about this about a week ago, and I liked Evan's idea. You offer him $75 million for 2 years, guaranteed, with every incentive you could put in the contract, and say, we're willing to give you this, let's see how these 2 years go, and then let's move from there. But this notion that people say, like, make him play on next year, that's just not going to happen.
No.
So he needs some sort of extension.
Jersey Ken?
Yeah, I'm with the years. The longevity, I think, is what scares the Niners. I 2 to 3 years, fine. Whatever the market dictates at this point is fine by me. I think you kind of got pigeonholed in a way if you're the Niners. You kind of have to pay them because there's nowhere else I don't think you can go. I mean, Sam Darnold is an option, but yeah, 2 to 3 years, why not?
Yeah, that's why I think Sam Darnold, I know people are dismissive when it comes to this guy, but we'll see how he plays in the playoffs and we'll just see the market for him. But if there's a real connection with him and Kyle Shanahan, and you get down in the dirty with Brock Purdy, and this thing gets contentious, I don't know why people continue to overlook a guy who can do everything in the system, in Kyle Shanahan's system, except he's 4 inches taller, and he can throw a better ball, and can throw a deeper ball. And what it is that he did with Minnesota is real. So, again, I'm getting ahead of myself, because if I'm Justin Jefferson, he ain't going anywhere. I don't care who J.J. McCarthy is or could be. You're not letting that guy that potentially could take us to a Super Bowl walk. So a lot will be determined on what happens in the next couple of months with Sam Darnold. If he takes you to a Super Bowl and win it, you're going to let him walk out the door. And as far as being incentive laden, I find that almost as insulting. I don't know. You tell me as a player, if someone said, hey, listen, we'll give you 75 guaranteed, but there's going to be incentives, you know, littered throughout. I don't want to be hitting benchmarks. I want my money. I mean, I want to be able to get the guaranteed money. So either guarantee it to me or don't. Mm-hmm. The idea that I've got to, you know, I got to jump through hoops.
Yeah, I think Brock's already, you're right. Brock says, you guys can't do this to me. I already proved it. That's why I say I'm going to give you $100 million guaranteed. You're going to make, your whole contract is going to be guaranteed $150 million, and I'll give you a 4-year, $150 million. So, and that's where I would be at. I look at this, and when you guys say the Raiders going to say, I got the Raiders on the phone, and they'll give you whatever you want. Do you think the Raiders have a better running backs and better receivers than the Niners right now? And if not, how the hell would the Raiders give this guy this money when you know that he can't move these, he doesn't have the receivers and won't have the